Michael O'Brien came in on Tuesday, and it was after we'd gone to West. This is really the first opportunity to air it, but I had a bit of a wide-ranging chat with him. He's visiting Geelong more regularly, he says. He came down for the day, went to all the media outlets, including us, and had a few questions about what his strategy is for the next 4 or so years in opposition. State Opposition Leader Michael O'Brien, who joins me in the studio now. Michael, thank you very much for coming down.
Absolute pleasure to be here, Mitchell. Thank you for having me.
What brings you to Geelong today?
Well, the V-Line train is what brings me to Geelong, which was it's nice to take the ride down. It's of course, coming down from Melbourne to Geelong, it wasn't too bad in the morning. It's the people going the other way who actually copped the rough end of the pineapple. But, of course, coming here at a time when people talking about, you know, fast rail, and I think we really need to improve those travel times. So it was a good opportunity to come down. We had Malcolm Turnbull, the former Prime Minister, was on the same train as well. So he was down here speaking to Geelong councils about technology and disruption. But I'm really just down here to have a chat to the community. I'm a new opposition leader, a new leader of the Liberal Party, and I think politicians need to do a lot more listening and perhaps a little bit less talking. So it's a great opportunity for me to come down here and find out the pulse of Geelong.
So the federal government announced this $2 billion rail proposal, which I believe was then matched by the Labor Party, and that's also reliant on matching funding from the states. How different is that proposal to what you took to the last election as the state opposition?
Well, it's actually not that dissimilar at all, and that's what's interesting about it. We know that Victoria needs fast rail. We need to connect our major cities. Geelong and Melbourne is the obvious place to start. So we'd actually gone to the last state election and said the state Liberals will put over $3 billion on the table to get fast rail between Melbourne and Geelong up and running. We did rely on federal government support, which is now there, which is fantastic. So it seems like the only people who haven't put the money on the table yet is the state Labor Party. So as opposition leader, I'll be encouraging Mr. Andrews and his party to make sure they don't let this opportunity slip, because this is a great opportunity for Geelong. The time's there, the money's there. We just need the state Labor Party to get behind it.
And the state Labor Party says that they're working through it, and I think the Geelong Council itself has also put in different submissions and different proposals. So it seems like it has the support of all three levels of government.
Well, we haven't seen the money yet. It's one thing to say you support something in theory. It's another thing to actually put the cash on the table to get things happening. And now that the federal government has got $2 billion of cash on the table, we just need to see the colour of Mr. Andrews' money as well, or the state taxpayers' money, because there is an opportunity there where you've got federal government, local government, and if state government comes on board, all three levels are lined up and we can make this happen, which is what Geelong needs.
Do we think we can build the whole thing for only $4 billion? Because some people think that's coming in a bit low.
Well, I think when you include the investment in the Melbourne to Tullamarine Airport link, which will be part of that track work, then I think when you include that money as well, yes, we can get it done. Absolutely.
And that service would presumably stop at Sunshine, but most of the time it would be a non-stop service. The reason I ask is I remember back to the regional fast rail, which I think was in the mid-2000s, and they promised all of these fast services. But then I think what ended up happening was they added in all of these extra stops along the way. So trains that were going to be express were suddenly stopping all stations, and it was down to, you know, one train a day that actually made the time that was promised. Is that going to happen this time around, do you think?
Well, it shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen. And, you know, it won't be fast rail if you stop all stations. You know, that's the nature of it. It has to be express services as much as possible. And I think the mistake that was made in the 2000s with the so-called regional fast rail was that not only did it stop too often, but they didn't do enough work to untangle the lines once you got actually into Melbourne. That's where a lot of the congestion is. That's where the Melbourne to Tullamarine Airport new lines will actually help to untangle some of that congestion, and that's where we can get Melbourne to Geelong fast rail up and running.
Are there going to be issues with congestion here in Geelong, because we only have one track going between Geelong and South Geelong Station, and that tunnel is very, very narrow. There's no room for duplication of that track. So if we start adding fast rail, is that going to be problematic through Geelong itself?
Well, I think that's certainly something that needs to be looked at as part of the actual construction here. We don't want to exacerbate any problems we already have. Geelong is a big city. It's a growing city. So we need to make sure that we don't just build this rail, fast rail, for the next 5 or 10 years. It has to be built for the next 40 and 50 years. And if that means duplicating tracks, then that means duplicating tracks.
So we've been talking a bit on this station about the CityLink transurban deal, where it seemed to be that CityLink was putting in $4 billion and was going to get back $37 billion in exchange for that. This was to fund the Westgate Tunnel, and a lot of concern from people about being slugged with tolls, particularly if they're driving on the road from Geelong, maybe heading out to the southeastern suburbs of Melbourne, but they're not necessarily going to use this Westgate Tunnel. The response from Daniel Andrews has been, well, if we don't use this method of funding, we'll have to make cuts to schools and hospitals. Is that right?
Well, it's not right, Mitchell, and we've already seen the Auditor-General tell us that Mr. Andrews has blown the budget on other projects. If he hadn't have mismanaged the level crossing removal program, which is already out by $3 billion, if he hadn't mismanaged Melbourne Metro, which is already out by over $2 billion, the money would be there to build the Westgate Tunnel without Transurban. And what he's done is he has said Transurban will get $37 billion in tolls for $4 billion up front. And this is at the same time as the state treasurer had shares in Transurban while he was negotiating with them. This whole thing absolutely stinks. And what's really frustrating is that it's going to be Victorian motorists who are going to have much worse cost of living as these tolls escalate year on year on year until 2045. And the Parliamentary Budget Office said, if you use CityLink, you commuted on it, say twice a day, 5 days a week, you'll pay $87,000 in extra tolls under this deal. This is a bad deal for Victoria. No one objects to the Westgate Tunnel, but the method of financing it absolutely stinks. And unfortunately, Mr. Andrews is making Victorian motorists pay because he can't make his other projects add up.
And we spoke to one of the crossbenchers who voted against this proposal, member for Western Victoria Region Stuart Grimley from the Darren Hinch Justice Party. And he says his party tried to raise some proposals with the Treasurer and was flat out told no. Ideas such as off-peak tolling, ideas such as a daily cap on tolls, ideas such as fee for service. So if the traffic's going at 10 kilometres an hour, you don't pay full price. Why was Transurban not open to some of these ideas, given that this seems to be a very good deal for them? And at the moment, we already get stung multiple times. The tolls seem to be very, very high when you're not really getting the service back.
Well, you have to ask the question, why do we have to keep paying for a road that we've already paid for, which is effectively what this deal makes us do? Maybe it's explained by the fact that the Treasurer has shares in Transurban. I don't know. He certainly, in my view, he had a huge conflict of interest. The Treasurer shouldn't have been negotiating with Transurban while he had investments in Transurban. And I think that people are right to be cynical about whose interest this deal really is in.
Apparently, when Jeff Kennett negotiated the deal originally, there was an arrangement where if it reached super profit level, the road could be brought back early by the government. Has that come into fruition? Do we know if it's reached anywhere near super profits yet?
Well, there's been a number of independent financial experts who believe that it has. The government says it hasn't, but they won't release the numbers. At the last election, the Liberal Party said if we're elected, we will have a proper independent public inquiry, and we'll tell motorists the truth. Has this road reached the level it's so profitable it should come back to public hands? Now, sadly, we didn't win the election, so these things remain shrouded in secrecy, but I don't think the secrecy can give people any confidence that these deals are done in the interests of motorists as opposed to the interests of Transurban and its shareholders.
On the election result back in 2010, I think there were four Liberal MPs between the upper and lower house representing here. We had three, or Liberal and National, three in the upper house, and of course South Barwon was a Liberal-held seat. Now today, Beverly MacArthur is the only MP left for the Liberal Party. So where have things gone wrong, and what do you need to do as opposition leader to regain the trust of Geelong voters?
Sure. Well, look, that's one of the reasons I'm here today, and you'll be seeing a lot more of me. I want to understand the issues and the concerns of the people of Geelong. It won't just be me as Liberal leader, it'll be my team. We'll be coming here regularly to make sure we have conversations, we find out what do people want to see. You know, I think at the last election, people might have had an understanding of what the Liberal Party was opposed to. I don't know that enough people knew what we were for. The positive policies we had to take this state forward, the positive policies we had to take Geelong forward. I think politics should be a contest of ideas, and that's what I'd like to do over the next 3 years and 9 months, develop those ideas. Let's challenge Mr. Andrews and Labor to who has got the better plan to take Geelong forward, to take the state forward. And I think that if we can win that contest of ideas, I think the people of Geelong will say, you know what, the Liberals have got some good ideas and we'll give them a go.
The weekend's Berejiklian result in New South Wales seemed to change the trend of other elections, like the WA election, the Victorian election, that seemed to be just a flow of red, whereas at least in New South Wales, things are pretty much held up as they were. What lessons do you take away from that result?
Well, I think the New South Wales Berejiklian government have demonstrated they're very good financial managers, and I think that's going to be increasingly important over the next 4 years. We're already seeing in Victoria the property market is going through a slump, stamp duty revenue is falling off a cliff. This makes it harder for governments to manage money, and I think people will be more interested in asking themselves the question, which party is best placed to manage the state's finances? Is it Labor, who's had a record of blowouts on projects, who's got a record of increased taxes, who's got a record of now saying they're going to double debt, or is it the Liberal Party? And I think that that strong financial management is going to become increasingly important.
So going forward, how do you describe your vision? You've spoken about, you know, who's got the best plan for Geelong. What sort of philosophies would you like to bring to Geelong and the state more broadly?
Well, I'm very much in politics because I believe in opportunity. I think that this state and Geelong has got fantastic opportunities, but we need a government that's willing to work hard with the people to make the most of them. I don't think that Victoria being the highest tax state in the country is a good thing for us. I don't think that us not having a fast train between our major cities is good for us. I think that we can do better than that. And I'd really like to lay out a positive vision of alternatives. Where can we be on lowering taxes? Where can we be on smarter investment in infrastructure? Where can we be on having a hospital system and an education system which treats people as individuals, not just as numbers in a system? I think that if people can see that there's a better alternative, I hope they'll vote for it.
Which taxes are on your radar? Things like payroll tax?
Well, at the last election, we actually promised to cut payroll tax outside Melbourne to 1%, which that would have been the lowest rate of payroll tax in the country, because I think that that's a payroll tax is a tax on jobs. It's a disincentive to hire more people. We should be encouraging businesses to put more people on, to give more people opportunities. If we can cut payroll tax, we give business the incentive to hire more people, and that means more people in a job, more money pumping through the economy. So payroll tax is one of the ones I'm very keen on saying that we can do better than where we are today.
How does it feel being in Parliament now? So you obviously have been the state member for Malvern, but you served as the treasurer under the Napthine government, and then you were, of course, in opposition for 4 years, now continuing in opposition, but as the opposition leader. What does it feel like in this term of Parliament compared to previous terms in Parliament?
Well, it's interesting because since the election, I think that the government has... they got a very big election win. They got a huge win. I do worry that it might have gone to their heads. We're seeing a lot of arrogance coming out. One of the first things that the government tried to do was to put through pay rises for certain Labor MPs. We managed to block that in the upper house, fortunately. Unfortunately, we weren't able to stop them from making public hearings for the Anti-Corruption Commission harder. They got that through. We weren't able to stop them abolishing four parliamentary committees that actually scrutinises the government. They got that through as well. I don't think that it's healthy in a democracy to see a government with such a big majority then doing everything they can to reduce scrutiny and to make their lives easier, but Victorians' lives harder. So I think that, for me, this is all about holding the government accountable and being a better alternative. If we can get both of those parts of the equation right, then we're doing our job as an opposition.
So just last of all, what's your message to people in Geelong listening to this, just everyday people on the street? Why should they take heed of what you have to say?
Well, I suppose I'd say that as leader of the Liberal Party, I want to offer a better alternative to where we are today. People are sometimes cynical about politics. They get a bit disillusioned. I want state politics to be a contest of ideas. I think that we've got a better plan to take Victoria forward, to take Geelong forward. And I'd actually like people to vote for us, not just against our opponents. Now, it's a long way to go to between now and the next election, but I'm putting the work in, my team's putting the work in. So I'd say to the people of Geelong, whether you voted Liberal in the past or not, have a listen to us, have a look at us, give us a go, give us a fair hearing, and we'll do our part and we'll try and justify your support at the next election.
Michael O'Brien, thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure, thank you.
State Opposition Leader Michael O'Brien there. Well, there you go. A very long way ahead for him. 4 years or so. Well, 3.5 now before the next election. And we assume he's going to serve the full term as opposition leader. But with the way things go, you never quite know. But that's his vision, just getting started. And there's not much to talk about yet because a lot of the issues are still carrying over from the previous term of parliament. We've had things like this CityLink deal to discuss. That's been quite controversial. Talk about fast rail.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Day. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.